Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person and those of you who are joining us online. A quick personal announcement. Many of you probably noticed that I bumped the chalice last Sunday after communion, and not only did wine spill all over the altar, but the chalice broke. And for those of you who were so, so gracious to come and support me and help clean it up, and Susan got the entire fair linen clean, thank you so much for your grace. I always tell people who help lead worship that worship is not a performance. It's offering all of us to God. And so I had to really practice hard what I preach. But thank you to everyone for being so gracious. We have a few announcements this morning because we've got a big week coming up here at Holly Grove. We've got church council after worship today. No agape circle tomorrow night, so if you are planning on coming to that, there's no agape. Wednesday, our senior citizens group is meeting at 10:30 in the fellowship hall. We have a card writing ministry, and we always have a potluck, which ends up being absolutely delicious every single time. Worship and music is meeting at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. Bible study at my house Thursday at 6:30. And then next Sunday, in addition to Sunday school and worship, the handbell choir will be playing for us, and we will have our blessings of the backpacks because most kiddos go back to school that next Monday. In addition to that, we have a school supplies drive for Davis Townsend where we're asking you to bring all of that next Sunday and place it at the altar as part of your offering. So a lot going on this week. Wanted to let you know that we've had a few deaths connected to our congregation this week. First, Anne Marie Evans died. She's the wife of former pastor Michael Evans. And so Anne Marie died early in August. Nancy Curry's brother, Andy Beck's uncle, Doug Beck, died this week, and his service was yesterday at Beck's Reformed Church. Eddie Heitman's father, died on Friday. This was quite unexpected, and his memorial service will be Thursday at 2 o'clock. And then many of you know, but some of you may not know, that Paul Conrad was transferred to the hospice house on Tuesday, and we do expect him to die relatively soon. And so be on the lookout in your email this week for a notice, and we will keep you posted with arrangements and a funeral time. We have a thank you card. This is actually from Sawyer's G-Paw and Nanny, as he calls them. They had a pretty bad accident a few weeks ago, and they say, "Thank you so much for your thoughts and prayers and the beautiful prayer shawls. These are very special to Doug and I. We are very blessed." And speaking of prayer shawls, we've got one here for Jane Tucker, who in my phone, I have her as Jane Conrad, because it triggers in my memory that she's Paul and Carolina's daughter. But Gyla looked back through our prayer shawl list. Carolina has a prayer shawl, Pam has a prayer shawl, and so we want to bless one for Jane as she goes through these next few days of losing her dad and continuing to support her mom. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer. We give you thanks for the gift of family, and we give you thanks for our church family and the abundant love that we have for one another. We ask that you would bless this prayer shawl for Jane, that as she feels the weight of this upon her lap or her shoulders, that she feels the weight of our love and care for her here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. My brain feels very full, so I'm not sure if I've covered everything. Is there anything I haven't covered this morning? Then let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen. Oh, see, I knew I was forgetting something. Thank you, Neil. Oh, we do have a few birthdays this week. Robert Napolitano. Actually, today's the 17th. Happy birthday today, Robert. Happy birthday tomorrow to Tony. Also, Chad Hedrick has a birthday this week. Abby Hearn, Kyle Murphy, and Trent Lutz. And celebrating their anniversary, Carrie and Bobby Fritz. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. As you are able. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Baptized into Christ, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, you free us to love others, but we neglect our neighbors and follow our own way. You lead us by the Spirit of joy and peace, but we turn away from the abundant life you offer. You surround us with patience and kindness and generosity, but we grow weary in doing what is right. In your mercy, forgive us. Do not give up on us. Heal us, break our bonds, and show us the path of life. Amen. You belong to Christ Jesus, and you are God's children through faith. In the cross of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Clothed with Christ, you are a new creation. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, judge eternal, you love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all the victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets, to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Cameron. There's Kate. Good morning, Kate. And good morning, Brantley. What are some things that you all like to do with your friends? Do you like to eat with your friends? Yeah, I like to eat with my friends too. Well, this week I got to see some of my pastor friends from camp. We got together to talk about camp next summer, and we had a good time together. And one of them told me about a new verse he wrote for one of the songs that we sang at Vacation Bible School. Do you remember we sang, Jesus cares for all the children of the world. Do you remember that song a little bit? Well, this is the second part of that he wrote, and I wanted to teach it to you so that you could think about it when you're at school, and so that we can sing it some more here at church too. So the second part is, stranger, friend, and neighbor too, he loves them as he loves you. Jesus cares for all the children of the world. Do you like that verse? I like it. Stranger, friend, and neighbor too, Jesus loves them as he loves you. That Jesus loves everybody. and Jesus cares for everybody. And I think this verse helps us put some words to that. So do you think we could all maybe try to sing it together? Stranger, friend, and neighbor too. He loves them as he loves you. Think we can give it a try? Jesus cares for all the children, all the children of the world. Stranger, friend, and neighbor too. He loves them as he loves you. Jesus cares for all the children of the world. I messed up that last note. But Jesus cares for all the children, and Jesus cares for you. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for music and for words. And especially your love. Just like you love us, you love everyone else. Help us to love others too. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up this morning. You can go to Children's Church with Susan today. And you want to take little Pastor Anna with you? Okay.
The reading for today comes from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by the resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not be apart from us, made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who, for the sake of joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No. No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, goodness, this is a challenging gospel lesson, isn't it? Do you ever struggle to make sense with what Jesus said in the Gospels? Right? We all have our favorite passages in the Bible, some that encourage us, some that comfort us. And then there are some passages, like the one we just read, that leave us thinking, what in the world? Jesus, why did you say that? Or maybe, Jesus, that doesn't sound like you. Aren't you the Prince of Peace? Didn't you come to bring peace? Well, first of all, it's incredibly important to remember that when we read the Bible, we cannot read it literally. Those who wrote the Bible never intended for it to be read literally. The only faithful way we can read Scripture is by understanding it contextually. When we understand the multifaceted original context that it was originally written in. For example, in Leviticus 19, God's people are commanded to not wear, quote, a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material, end quote. Well, if we were to read that literally, we'd have to get rid of most of the clothing, if not all of the clothing that we own. Or when Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, cut it out. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If we read that passage literally, none of us would have either of our hands or either of our eyes. And I really don't think that Jesus meant for the original hearers to literally cut off their hands or cut out their eyes. What I'm getting at is that in order to faithfully understand what Jesus was trying to communicate, we have to understand the context that he was speaking in. The second thing is, when we hear or read Scripture, in order to truly understand what is being communicated, we have to read it through the lens or the filter of God's character. For example, in today's gospel lesson, we read those verses through the lens of Jesus. And we know that Jesus is God, which means that Jesus is faithful and just and compassionate and merciful. We know that Jesus is love. And so, yes, when we first read these verses, we might question what we're seeing because they seem so contradictory to who we know Jesus to be. But Jesus doesn't literally want family members to hate one another. And so let's together look a little bit more at the context and put on the lens or filter of Jesus so we can see what he was trying to communicate. So because of where this is located in the Gospel of Luke, we know that Jesus is talking about discipleship. Jesus was passionately speaking about how a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their life. That's the context in which Jesus says these verses. Jesus was passionately speaking about how a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their lives. Right? He was communicating that faithful discipleship, faithfulness towards God, means that we love God more than we love any other. And that we love God more than everything, even life itself. Also, a big thing to understand contextually is that in first century Palestine, to hate was not an emotion word. Instead, to hate in first century Palestine spoke to one's loyalty and spoke of one's faith. And so to hate means to regard less. It's not an emotion word. It means, in this context, to regard less. So what Jesus is saying is that we are to regard our family as less than we regard God. Jesus is saying that we are to regard God more than everything, even those closest to us, even familial relationships. What's happening is that Jesus is using a really strong contrast to make a very strong point about our faithfulness to God and what it should look like. Jesus was emphasizing how a person's faithfulness to God should be the most important thing in their life. In our baptism, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus calls us to follow him fully and completely with all of who we are. This is the kind of discipleship that Jesus called his followers to in Scripture, and it's the kind of discipleship that he calls us to today. We don't just dip our toes in the baptismal water, following Jesus just a little bit. We don't follow Jesus only in certain areas of our lives. No. We were buried with him in those waters, and in those waters, when we're buried, we die to sin and to death and to our own selfish desires. And then we are raised to new life in Christ. And God begins to transform all of us. The call to follow Jesus is not a partial call. We don't just follow Jesus when we want to, when it makes sense, when it's convenient, or when it's easy. Jesus calls us to follow him completely, with all of who we are, and in every area of our lives. And the truth is, when we do just that, it will affect every area of our lives. Because when we follow Jesus, God transforms our values, our priorities, our goals, our behaviors. Right? Last week's text and sermon was Jesus addressing how our financial values are directly related to our relationship with God. Jesus again calling us to follow him with all of who we are. And so the truth is that when we follow Jesus, the way we live changes, our values change, our patterns of thinking and doing change, and that's going to affect our relationships, particularly those closest to us. It's going to disrupt the peace in those relationships. It's going to alter the equilibrium. It's going to upset the status quo. And all of that has potential to bring division. It happened in Jesus' own family, right? Do you remember in his ministry when he had been healing people and teaching and preaching? Jesus was so faithfully and fully committed to God's will and bringing God's kingdom of peace and justice on this earth that his family thought he went crazy. They thought he was out of his mind, and they went to get him and take him back home. Jesus, being completely and fully faithful to God, affected his family relationships as well. Jesus does not sugarcoat his words about what the life of discipleship will look like, not even a little bit. When we follow Jesus, we will be transformed. Our values, our priorities, our character. Because when we turn our eyes and focus on Jesus, other things go out of focus. The truth is, Jesus never promised that following him would be easy or comfortable or convenient. He himself endured great trials, hostility and conflict and suffering beyond comprehension. He was willing to do all of this because his faithfulness to God was the most important thing in his life. Jesus shows us what it looks like to love God more than we love our family and friends. And Jesus shows us what it looks like to love God more than anything, even more than we love life itself. Sisters and brothers, may God transform us so that our faithfulness to God is the most important thing in our lives. May we follow Jesus completely with all of who we are and all that we have. Amen.
together in hope and trust, we confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the Church, the world, and all creation. Raise up faithful leaders for your Church around the world. Inspire global missionaries with a spirit of accompaniment as they walk alongside our partners in the gospel in solidarity, interdependence, and mutuality. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Safeguard rivers and lakes from pollution. Sustain the work of conservationists, policymakers, and advocacy groups seeking to protect freshwater sources. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bridge divisions across partisan lines. Strengthen cooperative efforts among lawmakers who enact policies that protect our neighbors who are most vulnerable. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Embrace all who suffer in isolation, for those who are incarcerated or detained, those who are fleeing from unsafe environments, and those who are sick or homebound, especially Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Eddie, Pam, Dottie, Bobby, Bob, Karen, the Turner family, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Reassure them of your care in all times and places. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Guide the leaders of this congregation in these late summer weeks. Inspire their planning for a new program year ahead. Kindle in us a spirit of collaboration and support for their work. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
With thanksgiving, we remember the cloud of witnesses who surround us, especially Anne-Marie Evans, Doug Beck, and Ed Heitman. By the example of their faith, enable us to run with perseverance the race set before us, until that day when we join their unending praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Creator God, in your wisdom, you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Praise to you, glorious God of grace. Throughout the ages, you have blessed us with foremothers of the faith. With Sarah, we bless you for giving your gift of life. With Ruth, we praise you for family and food. With Miriam, we celebrate our escape from the foe. Remembering Deborah, we honor the words of your prophets. Remembering the woman at the well, we laud you for living water. Remembering Junia, we thank you for those who minister among your people. One with the daughter of Jairus, we wake to life in you. With Mary, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Remembering Martha and Mary, we join Jesus at this meal. Living, he healed the bleeding woman. Dying, he cared for his mother. Risen, he sent Mary Magdalene in mission. On the night before he died, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With Mary, again, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Mighty God of mercy, as you heard the prayers of Hannah, so now hear us. Send your spirit on this bread and wine, that sharing the body and blood of Christ, we become his body in the world. Send your spirit on this assembly, that like Phoebe, we serve one another with zeal. Send your spirit on the church, that like Anna, we tell others of your mercy. Send your spirit into our hearts, that like Dorcas, we care for the poor and needy. All praise to you, powerful God of peace. We adore you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you who mother and feed and comfort us, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set before you. Eat and rejoice.
Thank you.
stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Mothering God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and proclaim your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
The love of God abound in you. The grace of our Savior Jesus Christ fill your hearts. And the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace, and mind is spirit.